name on the front is a hell of a lot more important than the one on the back.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Wham! Cut zap. First try. Why so serious?
He's a fast killer.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
I'm freaking pumped. I've been drinking green tea all goddamn day.
I don't know. I have a bad feeling about this.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Good Day for a Movie podcast. I'm Jacob. Joined alongside me, as always, Tate and Sage.
What's up?
Hello.
How we doing, boys? We ready to get back into the swing of things? We're podcasting again.
We're back.
Until it was this movie.
Yeah, Sage is going to be sour grapes, so I'm sure the listener's really going to enjoy that.
Also, Wesley is incredibly anxious. And the second he saw the mic come out, he was like, God, no. And he's just been walking around.
What? Sage has an anxious dog? That's surprising.
He's just been walking around and
when he's sour grapes. Like,
he just pawed at the plant and knocked off a leaf. Why'd you do that?
Aw, poor baby.
Wesley, why'd you do that? He was just pawing at the rocking chair earlier and making it rock and was like watching it like some fucking sick dog. Just like,
is he losing it?
Yeah, I don't know why. We went
Wouldn't
on like
you
the
be
6 mile
if you
hike
today.
Sage?
Yeah, I did lose it. Yeah, quite a bit. All right, well, we haven't discussed our Oscar winners because we took a week off.
We have not. Should I go from the top or the bottom?
I don't think you have to. Just like kind of read up. Just give me the top five and then tell me where. Sage, did you do it? Tell us where we finished.
No, Sage, of course, did not.
Of course
do it.
Not.
Are you kidding me?
Well, then tell us where we finished if we are not in the top
five. We're going to start with the winner. Dr. Earl is our winner. The invite is out to Dr. Earl. He got 18 correct.
Damn.
Congratulations, Dr. Earl. We've got a tie for second between Rhett, Henry, Robert, myself, Garrison with 17 correct.
Is Henry and Robert the same person?
Nope. Henry Mouton.
Yeah. That's what I thought, but I
and
wasn't sure.
Robert Chardello.
Robert.
Shout out Robert Chardello. Thank you for filling out the bracket. So they all got 17.
Would have been fun if Robert Chardello
won.
We had
three people at 15, including David Dollery, your guys' mom, and Carla.
Wow. Wait, they all tied for third?
Yep.
Damn.
Where's Tate? I haven't heard dates.
Seth and Michael were tied at 12. And then let's see. We got to go way down. Let's see. Kurt, Amy, and Taylor, and my dad, and Melissa from the Food for Thought cast were tied at 6.
I got correct. Less than 6.
And Harrison and Tate got 5 right.
Now I see why you wanted to go from most to highest. Awesome.
There's always next year.
Because you got 5.
Yeah, it's because fucking Oppenheimer. They sucked the dick of Oppenheimer, and Lady Bird got jacked.
Lady Bird wasn't up in this Oscars.
I'm all jumbled now.
Poor things.
Poor things got jacked. Son of a bitch. 5. Well, and yeah, Anatomy of a Fall. All the movies I liked got nothing.
Anatomy of a Fall won something.
I mean, they won the one that they probably were going to win, but I wanted
that
them
sound,
to win more. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that was the movie that if Christopher Nolan didn't win, like outright.
Oh no, Zone of Interest won Best Sound.
Yeah, Zone of Interest won Best Sound. They won their screenplay or whatever.
Yep.
Which I was, I mean, those. That's actually two of the ones that I think I got. Then is the screenplay and sound Zone of Interest. I just got boned by Oppenheimer. What a dumb movie. I mean, it was good, but dumb.
You got both screenplays right.
Yeah, it's because I know
you
my shit.
You didn't get a single acting category correct.
Because I wanted Hewlett.
I wonder if, well, and it's Oscars.
Why would you pick Emily Blunt instead of
Divine
Joy Randall?
Tasting.
I don't know. I just
that
was
the most
category
obvious thing ever.
Well, I don't know any of the odds leading into this thing. That's all.
Other movies
you guys
guessed for Best Picture were American Fiction, Poor Things, obviously by Tate, Past Lives, Poor Things, Killers of the Flower Moon, Poor Things, Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yeah, I didn't know anything. All right, Dr. Earl, we're going to get you on. Congrats to you.
And that's your wonderful prize is you get to come on the podcast.
Yeah.
And you have bragging rights.
Until next year.
Boys, it's Monday now as of the release of this, but we just finished up the greatest weekend of the year. I love the start of the March Madness tournament. As we're recording this, Boise State and CU are about to tip off.
CSU plays UT nothing. Tomorrow night. I'm fucking pumped. That could have been a better matchup.
A one shining moment.
And Sage, your Oregon Ducks, they won the Pac-12. They got their entry.
It's just clockwork at this point. We do shit during the regular season, kick it up a notch at the end of the regular season, win the Pac-12 tournament, go to the NCAAs, win like two games, and then lose. That's how it goes every year. Dan Altman's one of the best coaches of all time. But
as people
crazy.
Who come from teams that rarely make the tournament, you're a bitch.
Yeah, fuck you.
we're happy to be here.
Yes, I'm happy that six Mountain West teams made the tournament and the Big East got shat on.
Yeah.
I mean, that's as it should be. The Mountain West has been underrated for like 5 to 10 years.
Yes.
It's crazy that they gave San Diego State a five seed. San Diego State was like fourth in the Mountain West and like not even ranked the highest. Nevada was ranked the highest. And it's like they just love San Diego State because of last year.
Yeah, it's the name.
Yeah.
And San Diego State is a legacy. They've always been
the best in our conference. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anywho.
Who's your guys' winner? Tate?
I got CSU. In my heart, but I did place a bet on Marquette.
Marquette's sick. I always pick Oregon. I know I'm going to lose every year. That's how it goes.
Gonzaga, Tennessee.
Boo!
I like Tennessee.
What?
Tennessee, I like shit. Tennessee. They're a two seed, aren't they?
Tennessee just get obliterated in the SEC championship? But
they've been like top five for a lot of the year, I feel like.
Yeah.
I also placed probably too many futures on... I did all of the Catholic colleges, except for... Duquesne to win the championship. So SM, St. Mary's, Marquette, Gonzaga, Creighton. And then I got to bet Duquesne to reach the Elite Eight.
God, I wish I could sports bet.
It's wonderful.
Mm. Probably a good thing because I've been betting on every single game.
I went 4-0 last night. I'm 0-1 tonight.
Oh, hey, when's the NBA championship? I have a lot of money on that.
That's not till June. Playoffs don't start till mid-April.
Well, then I have a few months to not care.
Yep. Yes. Anyways,
we're not a review. Basketball podcast.
No. No, no.
Can
no.
we be today?
God, no.
I want.
No, no, no. No, 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 no.
Can we be?
We've got a movie to review. 2017, Greta Gerwig of Barbie fame, Lady Bird, starring Saoirse Ronan, Laurie Metcalf, Tracy Letts, Lucas Hedges, old Timmy Shalamala Ding Dong is in this thing. Thufir Hawat's in it.
Yeah.
Or like Timothy Chalamet got a big ding dong.
Beanie Feldstein.
What's his
name? Lisa Al-Ghaib.
Lisa Al-Ghaib.
No, that's where you got to go.
Lisa Al-Ghaib, I got a big dong.
This movie was nominated for 5 Oscars. Sage had seen it. Sage, did you rewatch it?
Of course not. No.
Typical.
I got that's a fun right. fact. I definitely have seen this movie.
I watched it with Tate and Zach. Yeah. We were on the phone and I told him, I was like, Tate, I swear to God, we watched this with Zach.
Yep.
And Tate was like, no, I've never seen
it. It's slowly pieced together in the first 20 minutes. And then I went, yep.
Look, he's trying to open that door.
Yeah, because you can open it then. Yeah, just open it.
It's crazy. I don't know what's happening with my dog.
Did he get into like dog nip? Like catnips go crazy on catnip?
You gotta just go dog nip play thing? With him. You probably didn't take him on a walk.
Yeah.
We went on a 6-mile walk today.
No.
Probably not enough.
So you did rewatch it though, Tate?
I did. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Very good. Very good.
I did.
So I'm not
going to
be the only
it.
One that it's fresh for.
I mean, I rented it. I was pissed. So I didn't start it, get 20 minutes in, and then not so watch the rest because I realized. I had already seen it. I mean, there were pieces. Like, when I was 20, 30 minutes in, I didn't remember the full movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, yeah, I'm still going to obviously watch this. But it played out pretty much the way I remembered.
Well, that's good. That means your brain is still semi-working.
Semi-intact, yeah. Oh, it's in there somewhere. I just couldn't collect it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. All right, we'll see you on the other side.
I hate California. I want to go to the East Coast.
I want to go where culture is, like
How
New
in the
York,
world did I raise such
or at least
snob.
Connecticut or New Hampshire, where writers live in the
get
woods.
Get into those schools anyway.
Mom!
You should just go to City College. You know, with your work ethic, just go to City College and then to jail and then back to City College and then maybe you'd learn to pull yourself up and not expect everybody to do everything.
Lady Bird, is that your given name?
Yeah.
Why is it in quotes?
I gave it to myself. It's given to me by me.
Lady Bird always says that she lives on the wrong side of the tracks, but I always thought that that was like a metaphor. But there are actual train tracks.
What she did was very baller. It was very anarchist.
Put the magazine back!
She has a big heart, your mom.
She's warm, but she's also kind of scary.
You can't be scary and warm.
I think you can. Your mom is.
So, you're not interested in any Catholic colleges?
No way. I want schools like Yale, but not Yale because I probably couldn't get in.
You definitely couldn't get in.
Does mom hate me?
If you're tired, we can sit down.
I'm not tired.
You're dragging your feet.
You are so infuriated.
Will you stop yelling?
I'm not yelling. Oh, it's perfect.
Do you love it?
You both have such strong personalities.
When is a normal time to have sex?
You're having sex.
I'm ready. Just wanted it to be special.
Why? You're gonna have so much unspecial sex in your life.
We're afraid that we will never escape our past.
Whatever we give you, it's never enough. It's never enough.
It is enough.
We're afraid of what the future will bring. We're afraid we won't be loved.
You can't do anything unless you're the center of attention.
We won't be liked.
Yeah, well, you know your mom's tits, they're totally fake.
She made one bad decision at 19.
Two bad decisions.
And we won't succeed.
I want you to be the very best version of yourself that you can be.
What if this is the best version? What I'd really like is to be on Math Olympiad.
But math isn't something you're terribly strong in.
That we know of yet.
That's hella tight.
That was the weirdest Timothy Chalamet line.
Yeah. I laughed so hard.
It's very funny to watch this after seeing Dune 2.
Yes.
So that was going into Dune 1. This was my frame of reference of Timothy Chalamet. And I was like, that's why I was so nervous about him being cast as Paul. I was like, this little cunt is going to be Lisan Al-Ghaib.
Yeah. This little punk rocker.
Yeah.
This little high school punk. Yeah. He's going to be Lisan Al-Ghaib.
Yeah.
Yeah. He.
I can give my opinion first.
Yeah. Sage, you have to go first because then if you are wrong on anything, we can roast you.
I probably remember 2/3 of it. I'm not going to remember like a bunch of fine details.
All right. Well,
like
then go give it the.
Wearing and what their names were.
Give the review of what you remember.
It's a coming of age story and it's boring and it offers very little. And it was the best part of it was Saoirse Ronan's performance. Pretty much all the performances. I don't think there was any acting that was bad. It was just a coming of age movie that tried to be special that wasn't.
That's interesting. You say you hated it because on Letterboxd you gave it 3.5 stars.
I know. I looked at that and I was surprised because so
interesting.
You know my scoring. Damn. Movies just that I won't rewatch. Guess where this one's fallen? It was so bad that I don't. Or it was so unmemorable that I refused rewatching it.
The good thing, Jacob,
can't keep his story straight.
The good thing for him now, Jacob, is that he can regrade it on our podcast officially.
Yeah.
I never so graded it officially.
That's the good news for him. Bad news for us. But yeah. I mean, I'm not sure I'll give my first impression. I'm not sure I'm going to give this the highest score ever. Once it started, I like recognized faces and I was like, "Oh, I remember them from a movie." And then like 10 minutes later, I was like, "Oh, it was this movie." And so that was the main character boy that we meet, I was just like, oh, I remember him like becoming gay in one of these movies. And I was like, ah, it's this movie. And so spoilers for anybody who hasn't seen this. And then there's like her friend, her best friend. I was like, oh, there's something about her, but
she
I don't
was in
remember.
Booksmart too.
Yeah. I haven't seen that that I know of, but yeah, I mean, it's a fine movie. I think I just can't relate to it. I have a feeling that it has a lot of like, I feel like 90s references or even maybe earlier.
Early 2000s. It takes place just after 9/11. Remember? What?
Are they? Did they say that?
Yes. There's multiple things that they say about 9/11.
Really?
Yeah. It's like 2002.
Maybe I half watched this again. maybe that just explains or speaks to how much I like this movie. It's very average. But yeah, I think it's mostly because I just can't relate to her. And I think some of the other characters in this movie too, like, I don't know. It's an okay movie. It's fine.
It's probably important for me to also add that coming of age movies are probably one of my least favorite genres or styles of movie.
I do think I'm going to go on record in saying that too. Yeah.
I hate it. It was my biggest beef with Coda when we reviewed Coda, and you guys got mad at me for saying I hated all the dumb teenage coming of age bullshit. And I wish they focused more on the deaf side. Yeah, this falls in that category.
Jacob.
I very much enjoyed this movie. It's, I very much enjoy the coming of age storytelling. I think it's very well done start to finish. I think the ending is the best part. Like I had kind of heard of like how it ended, not like exactly, but like the overall point of like, she comes to realize, oh, like I didn't have like a terrible childhood, and like kind of appreciates the stuff that her parents did for her. And so I went in knowing that, and I really enjoyed how they played it off, or pulled it off. Yeah, I think Saoirse Ronan is fantastic. I'm a big fan of Greta Gerwig. I think she's a very talented director and writer. Yeah, I pretty much enjoy this whole movie. I think it's very well made. And obviously I'm the only person on this podcast that can appreciate a woman's journey and a woman's story. Obviously you two are not able to do that.
I'm anti-women.
Yeah. What is it Ken says? Pro-patriarchy.
I'm threatened by women. Is that what Barbie did to me? No,
this is the craziest thing. He's also been pawing at the electrical. The other night, I was like, when we were going to bed, I was laying down and I was on my phone and my phone was plugged in, and he actually unplugged my phone charger. He like went and pawed at it until it unplugged and then looked at me. And I was like, what?
So, do you think he's telling you he wants to move back down to Colorado or Austin?
What is going on?
He's like, I don't like it here in New York. I want to be back in Colorado. Or Austin, right, Wesley? You want to be in Austin. Mista? Mista? Is that a Mista? Who's a Mista? Wesley. No, I think that's rewatching this, though, I think that's the part that I was like, yeah, I just definitely don't connect it. Like, some of the stuff that, at least I think just the memory side of it. I think everyone can kind of connect to some of the bigger picture high school cliques and kind of like the shit that she cared about, which is all of the dumb shit, and how she couldn't, like how she was mad at her mom all the time and like fought with her parents, fought with her brother, lost her friend because she tried to be the cool kid, tried to run with the cool kids, like didn't know herself, finding herself, like all of that I think is very relatable for anybody who goes through high school. But it's some of the smaller stuff that was more like, seemed more female focused, which is kind of like the prom stuff, and like her with her dress, and how big of a deal all of that was. Like, I totally believe that. I just didn't, I don't relate. And then, I don't know, some of the, like, I feel like there's...
You can't empathize with it, though? Is that the empathy? Is that what empathy is, putting yourself in? What's the...
Sympathize or empathize is when somebody else's shoes, I think. So, I mean, I can empathize with it. Sure. I just
Wesley
never cared for like school dances that much. So I'm like watching that scene. I'm like, oh, I know a lot of girls felt that way, but I never felt that way. I'm sure if I was like had those similar emotions at that time, I would love this movie way more. That's maybe what I'm trying to say. Like, I think the movie does a good job of capturing that lifestyle, or like the life of a high school teenage girl and the things that a teenage girl cares about. I just don't think I am the right, like, I'm not going to be as receptive or like take everything in as much as somebody that went through it more. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess maybe that is where the difference is, because I was like, when those parts came up of like the kind of female struggle of growing up, I'm like, damn, like I'm glad that I'm a dude and like didn't have to go through that type of thing, and like was able to like more empathize with it. And obviously not, it didn't hit home because I didn't go through it, but like I was like, damn, like they're doing a very good job of like portraying how this would make me feel if I was in her shoes.
Yeah. And I think Greta does a good job of that. I just think I don't want, because the fact that I didn't love this movie, to put any like there needs to be a take this as you will from a guy's perspective. And I'm, yeah, that I just don't relate as much to this movie, which I think is fine.
Yeah, I think it was very funny as well. Like I maybe not like laugh out loud like Anchorman funny, but like there were some very clever and like just funny parts. Like especially the hardest part I laughed was when she walked in on him making out with the dude. Wow, Wesley's so loud.
I told you.
Wesley's louder than you are on this podcast.
Yeah, that
came Mike's probably
good.
On the ground because Sage doesn't have a brain.
I don't know, man.
But anyways, the part where her and Julie walk in on
Julie was her friend, yeah.
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 On Danny making out with the other guy in the bathroom. That I cracked up. Just the way they like framed it all and like just because it shocked me. Like I wasn't really expecting it. So I thought that was very funny.
I was about to say, I was like, I didn't take that scene as like a intentionally to be comedic, but because that was kind of like the shock of like, I think that was supposed to have like the shock value. Because right after that, they like go and sit in the car and like cry about how he's not actually into her. Like, I don't think that was supposed to be like a comedy scene.
That's kind of crazy that you laughed at that.
I don't think it's crazy. I think, I mean, seeing it
you
again.
You haven't seen the movie in 2 years, so I'm not going to listen to Sage's opinion. But
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, obviously.
It was just, it was when like, it's the moment she finds out that he's gay. And like he hasn't told anybody, and she like is devastated by it because obviously she was dating him. But this movie had other comedic.
No, I definitely think to defend myself, I definitely think like that the way they set it up and just so nonchalantly, it was definitely not like fully played for laughs. Again, not like Anchorman laughs, but like a shocking laugh type of deal.
Yeah, because I was gonna say like the first time I watched this, I do remember that scene being like, oh shit. And this time I like kind of saw it coming, like right when she was moving to the other bathroom, I was like, ah, I remember this.
Well, yeah,
so I didn't have the shock value. There's a lot of other things in this movie I did not remember, but the first time I watched it, I remember being like a shock. Like they set it up really well. I was totally bought in that they were like, I thought that he was going to be the boy of the movie, not Chalamet.
Mm.
And Chalamet wasn't, I guess, even the boy of the movie. There's not really a single boy of the movie.
No.
What other stuff did you find comedic? Or the other stuff?
I'm trying to remember. I kind of wish I would have watched it today instead of last night. Just kind of it was just pretty witty dialogue. And like just some of the responses and like even Lady Bird and her mom's relationship. There were lots of aspects of that that were like, again, not like laugh out loud funny, but like kind of chuckle like teenage daughters would be such a nightmare.
Yeah.
While they're teenagers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's what this movie seems to make you think. Yeah. I think, the parts that I maybe chuckled a little bit was more at like, I think her dad maybe had a couple of like little cute lines where I like chuckled and I was like, ah, cause I mean, and I like all of the relationships in the movie. Like the dad being the good guy and the mom being pissed that the dad is the only one that can be the good guy. So she has to be the bad guy. Like all of that probably happens a million times fold in any parenting relationship. But yeah, I kind of liked how the dad was very caring. They're both very caring, but in just different ways. But the dad was very like a touching.
He was the good cop.
Yeah, he was just a very nice character all around. He was quiet, didn't want to ever cause any trouble or harm, but just, yeah, kind of a sad character too, because like he just had a bunch of bad shit happening to him the whole time.
Yeah, and I mean, he's like the oldest, like the interview scene near the end was interesting, and you're like, damn, like it kind of made you feel bad for like the kind of old guys that were like in this tech field that just got
wiped out by
like so many young people and like the internet and whatnot.
Well, but that was such a good touching scene. I think that was maybe some of my favorite scenes back to back, were him in the interview, followed up by him seeing his son going in for the same interview, and he just straightens his tie and he's like, go get him.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that was very touching. I think all the scenes between the mom and the daughter were touching in a different way. Like, cause they'd yell at each other. And then like the next scene, they were like shopping together or like grabbing lunch together or hanging out. Which I think just shows like, I mean, everyone fights with their parents a little bit.
And it, like it, I don't know. I feel like movies since like the 2000s to now, it's kind of rare to have like parents that like actually like are caring for their children in like a good way. And I think in this one, it does show it and like it highlights it where like, yeah, her mom's a bitch or can be a bitch and like is super frugal for good reason and will bitch out her daughter and is a bit judgmental of her daughter, of like her figure and whatnot. But then when she picks Lady Bird up from Timmy's house and she just breaks down and cries, she's like there for her. And she's like, let's go do your favorite thing.
Yeah.
Or let's go do our favorite Sunday thing. I don't have a double shift tonight. Like,
yeah.
That's like my favorite aspect of this is just the way that her parents are.
Yeah. Her mom is definitely my favorite in this whole movie, just purely because she's the one that has to make all the hard decisions. Like, and she has to be the bad guy because like, I mean, she has to cut costs. She still is vulnerable because she gets hurt by even like the small comment of living on the other side of the tracks. Like that scene where she like roasts Lady Bird for Lady Bird being kind of a bitch. I was like, yeah, you are in all the right to give Lady Bird crap about all this stuff. Cause and even though Lady Bird's response was, yeah, I was just joking about all of that. She was just like, yeah, but you don't know how much that hurts. And you have to know because like, your dad, like the comments to her dad where she was like not meaning anything harmful by it, but she's like, drop me off a block early. I don't want my friends to see me driving in this car or whatever. Like, and when his mom, like, cause I didn't even think about it. And then when his mom was, or her mom was like, you can't be saying that kind of shit or like doing that to your dad, to your father, because that gives him like depression, but he's already got this blah, blah, blah. He's going through a lot. And she's like, I never knew that was hurtful. And then, but when you hear the mom talk about it, you're like, yeah, that is hurtful. And it's the same with the wrong side of tracks. But the mom is the only character in the movie that kind of calls her out on her bullshit.
Yes. And like they do such a good job because yes, her mom like calls her out on that, but also her mom does the same thing to her. And so like you see where Lady Bird gets this.
Yeah.
Like these biting comments and the ability to like say these like hurtful things in ways that if you call them on it, they'll be like, oh, I didn't mean anything by it. You just took it the wrong way.
Yeah, she definitely had a couple of those comments that remind me of like the May December mom, where it's like passive aggressive, under the table, sly, negative comments. But Lady Bird called her out too. So it was a very, like, they were very mother daughter with each other. Like, Apple did not fall far from that tree. And that was a very cute, all the relationships I liked. Even like the kind of, I mean, her brother, we don't really get much from him.
And that's another one of those biting comments, Lady Bird. This one was a little bit more overt about nobody will ever hire you with all that shit in your face. And then the next time we see him at the interview,
he doesn't have any
of the shit in his face.
Yeah. Yeah. He took that one to heart. I've totally forgot that she said that to him.
Yeah. So another aspect of it that I liked and that you guys probably won't care about is, and it was something that I was a little bit apprehensive of because I knew it took place like in a Catholic school. I was expecting all of the sisters and priests to be just like horrible people. And like the movie didn't play them as that. And like that one kind of counselor sister that like was like, you're not in trouble for just married to Jesus thing. She's like, that was hilarious.
Yeah.
Like I was happy that I was able to enjoy like these like nuns or sorry, they're not nuns, these sisters and priests and whatnot.
I liked Thufir Hawat's character. What is his actual name?
Stephen McKinley Henderson.
Okay, that's too much, but I'm not going to repeat that a million times. But I did like his extremely small part in this movie. I think that like hit deep for like the as far as like words per scene. or whatever you want to call it, like minutes per impact.
Sorry, thought my mic was muted.
You're good. Like the scene where we first see him cry, like, because you kind of meet him briefly, like very quickly, and then it's the scene where they're all like trying to intentionally cry, and he immediately just starts bawling, and he like apologizes. He's like, "So I'm sorry." And then the only next thing we see is that like he didn't show up for work, and then the next thing we see is he's talking to his mom about depression, and that was like that had so much depth to it. With only being, so that's where like Greta fucking killed. She killed all of the general problems, like on a kind of like in a normal person's life, and like the people that in their life, as far as wanting attention and attraction from others, like having problems with your family, to characters that were depressed, to characters that were gay and dealing with that, to I don't know, religion. I don't know if it really tied that, not. But
I think it did. We can get there because that's kind of the ending of it. But that was the other part that I liked too from Lady Bird when she was working at the coffee house and Danny comes in and she's like sees him and like sprints out the back and then he sprints around to the back and he's like freaking out and she's like, "I'm not gonna tell anybody." Like, just kind of sucked and then just give him a big hug. I liked that part too.
Yeah, that was a good. That was a good scene because it was just her being like realizing that her anger towards him is nothing like what he's feeling and dealing with. So, and she was able to realize that. Yeah, it was, I mean, as far as like a character, I guess character development or whatever you want to call it, character highs and lows. I mean, it nails a lot and it covers a lot in this movie.
Yeah, the aspect of her being on the secret wait list. What school was it for?
I don't know. It was like for
some New York school.
Yeah.
That was interesting about keeping it from the mom, and she doesn't find out until graduation day.
Yeah.
That's almost a shitty move from the dad. Like in some one way, but in the other way, it's a baller move. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I think. I'm trying to remember the school.
It's one thing to tell your kid, "Don't tell mom we went and got ice cream before dinner." Another thing to be like, "You're going to move all the way across the country."
Yeah. And I liked how much that hit the mom.
Yeah. And
you could feel
Laurie Metcalf did such a good job of like playing that too. And then like what we get after that is she's just ignoring her and ignoring her.
Yep.
And like Lady Bird's like that whole ending bit when she's still in Sacramento about like, "I know I'm a shitty daughter. Like, I know I'm not like lying. Like, I lied to you and I'm so sorry that hurt you. Like, anything, yell at me, say anything to me. Like, I just need you to talk to me." It was so good.
Yep. Did, how old is Greta Gerwig? What era did she grow up in? What decade?
Let's see. She was born in 83.
So this is basically her. I mean, she would be
18
at 2000.
Yeah.
So this is kind of like, I mean, I was just thinking
I've heard
that
this is semi-autobiographical as well. Like,
yeah.
Not like fully, but like inspired by her life a little bit.
It's gotta be. I mean, like the little things in the movie, like sitting in the car, listening to certain songs and like just a couple of these just felt like core memories that someone had that you kind of are watching in a row. I don't know. It felt very like personal.
Yeah.
Are you disagreeing with anything we're saying, Sage?
He doesn't remember any of it.
I just don't care, honestly. It was such a boring movie.
I mean, do you just want to give your score and you can go?
I'd be actually very okay with that.
Well,
I don't know how much more we have. I just have the ending.
Yeah, stick around because I have to ask you something after.
So I'm a big Greta Gerwig fan. I'm a fan of her husband's as well, Noah Baumbach. I think the only movie I haven't seen of hers now is Nights and Weekends, which I think was her first one. So I don't even know if it's like that big of a movie, but at least that she's directed. So I definitely need to watch that. But I liked Barbie quite a bit. Really enjoyed Little Women.
Barbie was great. I still need to see Little Women.
I like it. I don't know if you'll like it. I enjoyed it quite a bit. Have you ever seen any like Noah Baumbach stuff, her husband, Marriage Story?
Oh, Marriage Story, yeah. Marriage Story was great.
While We're Young is a very good movie, I think. Oh, wait, is this? I didn't know this. Noah Baumbach wrote the screenplay for Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Huh. That's another favorite.
Yeah, him and Wes Anderson did. He also did Madagascar 3, Europe's Most Wanted, which is funny.
Random.
But yeah, the While We're Young is a very good movie. I very much enjoy that one. Ben Stiller's in it. It's almost like Marriage Story is like almost the reverse of While We're Young. They're similar, but kind of different outcomes.
Marriage Story is another just really good relationship.
And great acting in Marriage Story.
Oh, yeah. And writing.
I need to rewatch that movie.
That's one of my favorite movies because it's just writing and acting, and it's so good.
Just get some scenes of just Adam Driver and Scarlett Johansson just yelling at each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the ending of Lady Bird is my favorite part. I like she goes off to New York, right? And she's, before she's left, she's kind of realized, like, okay, like, I was an idiot teenager, and, like, I shouldn't have done some of these things. But she's not fully over everything and, like, is still very excited to get out of Sacramento. But then when we see her in New York and she... like at the party and talking to the guy, and the guy's like, was this before or after the notes from her mom? I think this was before, right?
I think before.
Yeah. And, she's like, she asks him like, do you believe in God? And he's like, what? No. She's like, why not? He's like, 'cause I'm not an idiot. And then the quote doesn't really make sense in everyday life, but for the character to say people call each other by names that their parents made up for them, but they won't believe in God is just perfect for the character, I think. Yeah, really enjoyed that aspect of it. And like just how she pukes and whatnot. And then she comes out of the hospital on a Sunday, she asks somebody on the street, and like her first instinct, she's like, well, I don't really know what's happening. And so her first instinct is like to go to the church. I really liked that as well. And then when she's reading those letters from her mom, and she talks to her dad about it?
I think,
or her dad wrote a letter.
I think there's just kind of a, like a voiceover or something from her dad. That's like from a memory of when he's telling her about them. I have a feeling that the way I remember it, even though I watched this a few nights ago, was that she knew she had them the whole time she's at college. She just like decided to finally read them. So I think it was kind of like when she was opening them, there's some sort of flashback that was like to when her dad was giving them to her. Like, your mom doesn't know that I'm giving these to you or something like that, and that she's been keeping these, but I thought you should know and have them.
Mm-hmm.
Or like something like she held on to these or whatever, and I thought you should know. So I felt like it was a flashback to when she was leaving for college, and now she was finally deciding to like read them. That's the way I think I interpreted it.
Yeah, that makes sense. It was either that or her dad had a letter in there as well. I can't.
Yeah, maybe he did.
Yours makes sense too. I can't remember where his voiceover came in from, but or why it was there. But that was very nice, like the voiceover as well, about like your mom's biggest problem was that she was afraid that you would judge her writing. Because I'm assuming like she's going into like, she's like majoring in writing in some sorts, and just like seeing that like other insecurity of her mom of being like, my daughter's smarter than I am, and I don't want her to like realize that yet.
Yep. Yeah, because wasn't the whole thing like line about like how she loved her writing?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I feel like that's, and that was like, and that's probably like the highest respect that the mom could have ever asked for, and she didn't even ever get it until like I that we saw.
Yeah, she was, and then too scared that last little message that she leaves them is very nice as well.
Yeah, I kind of like that it was just she reads some letters, she misses home, she gives him a ring, they don't answer, so she leaves a voicemail, and movie's done. And it's kind of like that felt very like it hit home as much as a dramatic conversation with your parents would have, but you avoid the dramatic cliche conversation with your parents. And it's like, I thought that would have got cheesy, in my opinion. So I think it was still, it still hit the emotional points while not being loaded with cheese.
It, like, there was a little bit of like missing home in there for sure. But like, I think it was mainly like regret for her actions and for being a shitty kid.
Yeah, I think it was, I think it's just like a, the missing home.
It's a combination of everything. Like, first time she's away and like realizes everything that she's missing and the things that she's done that have not been great.
Yeah, it took her being away from home for, and getting a taste of not having them around all the time to make her realize like, ah, shit, like I had it pretty good. Like, I was pretty happy. But
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I talk good on this movie a lot, and I still, I do think it's a good movie. It's a well-made movie. I just think I don't want to butcher it with my less, what's the word?
You're just not very empathetic, and that's okay.
No.
You can work on it.
That's not one of my strong traits. What was I trying to say? What's the word?
Patriarchy.
Oh, no, I was just going to say I don't want to butcher with how much I don't relate to it.
Ah, gotcha.
That's what I was trying to say. Good movie. Well made. I don't want to butcher it because I don't really.
It's not a you movie.
It's not a me movie. But if somebody said it was, I'd be like, hell yeah. I can see that.
Mm-hmm. So I think the last thing we should touch on real quick is nominated for 5 Oscars. Did not win a single one. So it did get shut out, just not this year.
It was in 2017, you said?
Yes. Yep. 2017, 2018 Oscars. So Saoirse Ronan was nominated for Lady Bird, or duh, obviously, was nominated for actress in a leading role. Frances McDormand won for 3 Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Oh,
yeah. Well deserved.
Laurie Metcalf, the mom, was also nominated.
Yep.
Supporting role. Allison Janney won for I, Tonya.
Never saw it, so I don't know. But I think this, that her mom killed it in this movie, so.
Yeah, that's a toss-up, I actually think. I haven't seen this one, but Greta Gerwig was nominated for director. Guillermo del Toro won for Shape of Water.
Ooh.
I have not seen Shape of Water, but damn, that's quite the 5. Christopher Nolan, Dunkirk, Jordan Peele, Get Out, and Paul Thomas Anderson, Phantom Thread.
Didn't see Phantom Thread, but...
I didn't either, but yeah, I mean, it's a Daniel Day-Lewis movie. Like, that's a... Yeah. It's a pretty strong starting 5 there.
Yeah. Tough comp. Tough comp.
Also, it was nominated for Best Picture. Obviously, Shape of Water won that one.
Yeah.
I'd say Dunkirk should have won. Get Out should have won over Shape of Water. Lady Bird should have won over Shape of Water. 3 Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri should have won over Shape of Water. Haven't seen The Post. Darkest Hour was good.
That's actually a pretty good year.
Mm-hmm. And then it was also nominated for Original Screenplay. Hard to be upset about this one. Get Out one.
Yep.
Also nominated The Big Sick, Shape of Water, 3 Billboards.
Yeah, Get Out was phenomenal.
I have not seen Get Out.
Wow.
I know.
That would be a good one to review on the podcast. There's enough there to talk about, even though I've seen it. Sage, have you seen Get Out?
I've seen it, and I'd probably rewatch it.
It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just said it's phenomenal, so.
I saw Jordan Peele's newest movie.
Did you?
That's the only one I've seen, yeah. The Alien.
Oh, I think he came out with one after that.
Maybe
he did before.
He's coming out with one, maybe.
Oh, maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Well, he had Get Out, and then he had Us, and then
Nope.
And then, yeah, maybe there's one that's coming out.
Death Stranding and Untitled 4th film directed by Jordan Peele.
Okay. Yeah, Nope and Get Out are awesome. I haven't seen Us, but I heard it was average. All right.
Scores?
Shall we?
We shall put Sage out of his misery, take him out back, put the shotgun behind his head, and pow!
I'll give it a 60.
We're not going yet.
I was about to say, for everyone listening, it probably jumped in their car for that pow. I jumped a little.
Good. That was on purpose. From the aggregators, I know it's been a couple weeks, 3 weeks, Sage, but from the aggregators, a 7.4 out of 10 on IMDb, 99% on Rotten Tomatoes, 93 out of 100 on Metacritic.
That's so not surprising.
A 3.9 out of 5 on Letterboxd.
I would have bet all my future winnings on my NBA bets on the fact that Metacritic was going to give this a plus 90. I give it a 60. It was fine. It was a coming of age movie. I obviously did not want to rewatch it. That's what I thought of it. But I'm not going to disregard the fact that the performances were good and that for the right person, they would probably love this movie.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 75, just right down the middle. I was going to go 70, but I do think the performances bring it up. It ain't for me, but if somebody gave it like a 90 or 95, I'd be like, I can see why.
That's very funny that you say a 75 is right down the middle, because obviously it's not. But for movie rankings, I feel like 75 is right down the middle.
Man, below a 50, I'm just like, I could pick
any
number.
It's because you don't want to watch movies below a 50.
Yeah, I don't.
Really. Below 50 doesn't exist, because it's like in your mind, I'm not going to go out of my way to watch a movie that bad.
To me, like,
no, I know, but yeah. the idea that 75 is down the middle is just...
Yeah, I think school has just ingrained that into my mind.
Yeah, yeah. I'm giving this movie an 85. Really enjoyed it. I don't necessarily know where like those 15 points are coming off, but like I really enjoyed it. I think it's good all around. 73 average score for Lady Bird. Tate, your pick is up next.
All right. Are you ready for this one?
Yep.
Oh God. I hate that face he has.
I love that.
No, Sage, actually, I think you're going to love this one. I think this one's a good pick for all three of us, actually. I think it hits everything.
Well, let me guess the decade. I think it's in the 90s. I think it's a 90s movie. No?
Nope.
Interesting.
60s.
All right, I'm going to say like five words. I haven't thought these out in my head yet, so I might say five. We'll see. 80s.
Okay.
Bad start.
Good start.
Hour and 45.
Decent.
Decent? Fuck off. That's a good thing for you.
Give me an hour and a half and I'll say good.
Oh my God.
Streaming?
Oh, let me look.
Oh God. That's terrible. You already lost me with the hour 45.
It is streaming on Peacock with ads, Tubi with ads, or you can rent it on Amazon for $2.99. That was more than five words, but that's my third one.
$2.99 is pretty good.
Pretty good. Western.
Oh, okay.
All right.
And Willie Nelson.
Whoa. Okay.
We are watching Redheaded Strangers, baby.
Wow.
Redheaded Strangers?
Yep. It's the name of one of his albums.
Is it Redheaded one word? Okay, there we go.
Two words. Redheaded Strangers.
No, it's Redheaded Stranger.
Oh, yeah.
It is Stranger.
I think the album is Strangers. Maybe it's not.
That's no, Strangers. The album's Stranger.
Ooh. Huh.
You know Willie Nelson used to be a redhead, right?
Yeah, that's why he had it. Yeah.
Yeah. That was his nickname. Dolly? Did I see Dolly?
I don't really know.
The poster there? Or is that just Catherine Ross?
Catherine Ross.
Catherine Ross is definitely in it. That looks like Dolly. No, it's Morgan Fairchild. Interesting.
Yeah, she does look a lot like Dolly.
Honestly?
She looks a lot like Dolly.
Looking like I'm kind of going to dig this movie a little
bit. So someone told me,
All right, redheaded. Yeah.
I was just going to say a little bit of backstory for this one. I was at Luck Reunion last week for South By. I mean, it's not part of South By, but it goes on during it. And it's just a single day festival out at Luck, Willie Nelson's ranch or his property. And it's like four stages, tons of bands. It's this huge production of an event. But Willie caps off the event. So he plays last. So I got to see him play a little bit. And I was talking to somebody there just about movies. One of my buddies, and he was like, oh, I mean, obviously you've seen some of those movies like Walk the Line and like blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah. He's like, have you seen Redheaded Stranger? And I was like, no. He's like, it's about Willie and Willie's in it. And I don't know if it's about Willie. That's just what I remember him saying. Yeah. But I think it's somehow tied to the album Redheaded Stranger.
Okay.
I don't know. Though.
Revisionist
I
Western
about
fallen preacher Shay, who guns down his wife, Raisha, for running off with another man. Wandering, he meets single mom, Lori. However, helpless Sheriff Scobie wants Shay to help him fight the villainous Clavers.
So maybe it's not about Willie, but Willie's, yeah. Anyway.
Why do Westerns always have the craziest synopses? Wesley, it starts yep. this way, goes this way, happens this way, and ends in a completely different way than it started.
My buddy just said it's about a guy getting dumped. And I was like, that sounds great.
All right. Additional optional homework. For this movie.
Listen to the album?
You listen to the whole album.
Oh, for sure. I've already listened to it. But I will re-listen to it all the way through.
Have you heard Willie's newest song?
No.
Oh.
Dude could barely sing.
The Libs are not a fan. even though he's a big lib. It's called The Border.
When did it come out?
This year.
Wow. I'm surprised, because when he's on stage, you could barely hear him.
Yeah, like I think it was last week.
Pretty funny.
I work on the border. I see what I see.
Wesley's in it.
You should listen. I really like the like instrumentals in it. The song's a little.
Yeah, no, I mean, it sounds very Willy.
Yeah, all right. I will have listened to and watched this movie by next time. Just got to find the album. What year did that album come out? Probably
right around
83.
Then.
Oh, 70s, yeah, that makes 80s. Sense.
I think his first album was in the 70s, but maybe he's older.
Oh, his first stuff was in the 60s. He was writing stuff for people in the 50s.
Wow. So the only albums I've listened to are.
Holy cow. His first album was 1962.
What's that one?
And then I wrote. Oh my gosh. Can you see his face on there?
Yeah. He looks so young. So I guess I think I started. Yeah, I started listening. So I was told by somebody that their favorite stretch of Willie albums is from Shotgun Willie, which came out in 73. To Phases and Stages, to Country Willie, to Redheaded Stranger, which was between 73 and 75.
Ooh.
So that's the stretch I've listened to.
This song's got Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain on. 1975 is when Redheaded
he's
Stranger
He's got a hell
out.
Of a discography. That was crazy. Oh, yeah. I just scrolled through.
I mean, the songs that he's written, he wrote Crazy by Patsy Cline, which is like probably top five most famous country songs of all time. I'm crazy.
Well, I'm gonna be listening to a lot of Willie between now and next time we talk.
Yep, I will be as well. All right, Redheaded Stranger, I'm very excited for this. This is
boom, Sage. You're excited?
Exciting stuff.
We'll see. I don't know. It's promising. It's promising. I will say it's promising, and I will say I'll watch it.
Nice. I'll take that.
Average score of 73 for Lady Bird, 73.33. If you'd like to get in contact with us, you can shoot us an email at gd4ampodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at gd4gd_movies. Instagram, gd4gd.movies. Leave us a 5-star rating and or review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, any of the podcatchers that take ratings and or reviews. And if not...
Sheesh, all I got is depressing shit.
I've got... Sage?
I'll make you live in Sacramento.
Ah, damn, that's kind of good.
You don't want that. I actually probably should say, I think I remember giving it a decent score because I was like, wow, they actually made a movie in Sacramento. How'd you do that?
The old made a movie in Sacramento 5-point bump.
Yeah, I do remember being like, that's crazy that they made a movie in Sacramento.
I'll have my kid steal your job. I don't have a kid.
Right before we make out, I'll puke.
Ooh, gross.
Dirt. We'll catch you next week at the movies.
I don't give a damn.
He's looking at you, kid.
Right here.
When you're terrific, if you're even good.
The stuff that dreams are made of.
To A, B, simple is equally understood. Go out and try.
Louis. I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Hollywood.
Remember, the Force will be with you always.
It's bold in terms of jerking people around, but I may have gone too far in a few places.
Hey, everybody, we're all going to get laid.
All right, I'm back.
Are they coming? Was that them that you're talking to?
No, that was nerds.
That was Taylor. What's up?
Taylor's going to hop on too.
Nice.
Where's Sage?
Sage was in such a grumpy mood because I picked Lady Bird.
Yeah.
That's a good movie.
I know.
You guys are Manly Bird and Mr. Bird.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
I forgot about that, too.
Yeah, pretty funny. Yeah, the movie's all right. But it's all about girls or whatever.
I gave it an 85.